Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Welcome to Springs of Living Water with Pastors Ray and Jan Greenlee.
Have you been told that your sin will not keep you out of heaven? Or have you been convinced of your sin? Do you have a deep conviction of your depravity or your wickedness? Or do you think you're fine just the way you are? Have you been converted to God? Do you have an entire devotion of your whole heart to serve only Jesus? Have you given yourself unreservedly to the whole will of God, and now see your life as a living sacrifice to Jesus? Have you been renewed in love through a simple and direct faith in Jesus? Does love flow constantly from your life to those around you? Does the world love you? Do you belong to the world? Or are you a born-again Christian who abides in Jesus? Or do you abide in the cravings of sinful man and the lust of his eyes and the pride of life? What known sins have you committed this week? And what will you do today about your sin? What have you thought, said, or done that you're not sure whether it was sin or not? Have you confessed everything to Jesus? Have you repented of every known sin today? Have you put aside every doubtful habit? Now, a doubtful habit is something you're not quite sure if it's sin or not, but the Holy Spirit has put a check in your heart so that you at least have a question. Do you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Do you obey the Holy Spirit promptly, or do you put him off and say, "Oh, I'll do it later. I can't take that time now, but I'll do it when I get around to it"? Do you share your victories in Jesus and confess his name publicly? Or are you a closet, half-converted Christian? I do not want God to judge your life and pick you up and throw you into the fire to burn. I want you to be brought into Jesus Christ. I want you to be washed clean by his blood so that your life can count for eternity. Many today are trying to lead you astray. They want your life for their own purpose. They want to keep you imprisoned in your sin because they're imprisoned in their sin. They don't want you to abide in Jesus in simple faith. They don't want you to be washed clean and transformed into the likeness of Jesus. You may ask, why would you say this, Pastor? Because then you will hate the world, the flesh, and the devil. You would be set free of all of your bondages, of all of your sin, and you would serve only Jesus, and you would submit your life to him. You would no longer join them in their rush to be entertained by the world. You would no longer go with them to the clubs. You would no longer go with them to the gambling houses. You would no longer walk with them in the wickedness of their life. And they want you to continue in fellowship with them. But Jesus wants you to come out of that and to fellowship with Him. You see, by the world's opinions and standards, and may I say, by the worldly church's opinions and standards, if you truly confess your sin and begin to follow wholeheartedly after Jesus, you will be considered a radical. You will be considered as plain and boring. And they will say, "What is wrong with you? You've gone over the edge. You have to stop going this direction. You have to stop listening to this preacher. You have to get back in balance." Oh no. A person who is born again, who is walking in Jesus Christ, is never in balance by the world's standards. A person who is sold out to Jesus Christ and who only now has an interest in the things of God, can only speak about the things of God, who no longer is interested in all of the wickedness of the world, that person is considered to be out of balance. A person who refuses to soak up the wickedness of television, who refuses to go to those action movies, who refuses to walk in the darkness, that person is considered radical, plain, and boring. A person who will no longer dress with all the flash and flare of the world, with all of the jewelry and all of the stuff that says, "I'm important." That person, as they begin to dress more simply, will be considered plain and boring. A young man came to the National Prayer Chapel. It was his first time there. Halfway through the service, he abruptly, right in the midst of the sermon, got up and walked out the door, and he went to a nearby store to buy some junk food. And he was asked later, "Why did you leave?" He answered, "Because church was so boring." It was boring to him because he lives for an emotional high. He wants the lights, the camera, the action. He wants all the sweet sounds of the world right there in the church. He wants a show. He wants something that can crank him up and get him going. He doesn't have any depth in his heart. He doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't follow the Jesus of Scripture. He follows the cheap, shallow, cotton candy Jesus. The Apostle John writes in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, verses 26-29, "I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray." Well, what has he been writing? If you read the context of this passage, he's been saying that the Antichrist has already come. Many Antichrists have already come. What he's speaking about are men and women who come, who are against Christ. They are for the world, and they are against Christ, and they are in the midst of the fellowship of the church. He's speaking about men and women who deny that you can walk now in victory in Jesus without sin. He's speaking about those who would deny the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. On this broadcast, you will continually hear us speak about the incredible power, the delivering power to set us free that is found in the precious blood of Jesus. Now, I know in many churches today, they don't talk about the blood anymore, and they don't talk about sin. The reason they don't talk about the blood and they don't talk about sin is the world has swept in among them. But on this broadcast, we're continually going to speak about the blood, because it's the blood that sets us free from the bondages of sin. That's something worth shouting victory about. That's something worth getting excited about. Oh, I don't want just your emotions to be touched. I want the sinful soul to be washed clean. I want you to die to your sin. I want you to die to the law. I want you to walk in grace, not grace that covers your sin, but grace that removes by the power of the blood all of your sin. And so he says, in this context, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real and not counterfeit, just as it is taught you, remain in him. That word remain is meno in the Greek, and it literally means to abide in, to stay put. And that word is an active verb tense. That means he's saying, you've been taught about Jesus. Now actively choose to remain in him. It's not a passive behavior. It's an active verb that says, I'm going to do everything that I need to do to make sure that I continue to abide in Jesus Christ. Well, when you're faced with a question, will you plunge with the wicked into the worldly things of this age? Your answer is, if I'm going to remain in Jesus, I'm going to have to say no to those things, because you cannot walk in the wickedness of this world and in Jesus Christ at the same time. You cannot have a spirit of darkness in your heart and a spirit of light at the same time. Now, part of what terrifies me is I look at men and women who say they are born-again Christians, and I see the darkness of sin etched strongly into their countenance. I see the darkness of sin and the ravages of sin shining forth from their face. This is not how it should be for a born-again Christian. A man or woman, a boy or girl who is truly born again will shine forth with the glory of God. There will be joy on their face. They will walk in victory and in power. They won't be defeated by the enemy, and they certainly will not plunge back into the things of wickedness. They won't walk in illicit relationships. They will not be sexually unclean. They won't be filled with anger and bitterness. They won't be filled with envy and ambition. They won't be filled with themselves. They will not be self-absorbed. They won't be filled with a sense of self-importance. Instead, they will be humble of heart. They will look to Jesus, and they will remain in Jesus. They will actively choose to abide in Jesus. But now let's read verse 28. And now, dear children, in this term, dear children, you could just as easily translate that, and now, my darlings. It's as though a grandfather were speaking kindly to his little grandchildren. Continue in him. And this word continue, translated again from meno, it means active verb. Stay, remain, abide in Jesus, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him as at his coming. I have to ask you, if Jesus were to come right now, if the clouds of the sky were to roll back right now, if the trumpet were to sound and the glory of Jesus were to appear and the brightness of his coming would shine forth about you right now, would you be ashamed? Would you be ashamed of what you've done today, of what you've thought, of how you've acted? Would you be ashamed of anything at all, or would you be confident and unashamed as you face your Master, your Lord, and your Savior, as you face the lover of your life? Have you been faithful to Jesus, or have you been out with a prostitute? Have you been committing adultery with the world? Have you been lusting after Baal? You know who Baal was, don't you? Baal was that god of the Old Testament that constantly snared the children of Israel. He was the god of lightning. He was the god of rain. In fact, they believed that in December, the end of December, Baal went underground. And when he went underground, they had what they called a festival of lights. We call it Christmas. And the reason they put out all these lights, they lit the candles, they had all kinds of rituals. It was to try to entice Baal to come up from the underground where he'd gone to fight with the god of death underground. They wanted to entice him to come back up to the top and to bring the warmth of summer, to bring the spring rains, to cause the ground to be fertile again so that they could prosper. So in reality, Baal is the god of money. We've renamed Baal. We call him today Saint Nicholas, or we call him Santa Claus. We really worship Baal today. We lust after the things he provides for us in our understanding. It's really Jesus who gives us the power to gain wealth. It's really Jesus who is the true God of prosperity. It is Jesus by his blood that works with miracle power in our hearts. It's Jesus who steps forth and defeats Baal. Jesus said that the gates of Baal, or the gates of hell, would not stand against the church. That gives me courage, because today Baal has moved right into the church. Today Baal rules over the church. It's about bodies, bucks, and bricks. It's about a dog and pony show. It's about entertainment. It's about ego and ambition. Today we need to turn in the body of Christ and stop shaming the name of Jesus. We need to be convinced of our sin. We need to be convicted of our great depravity of heart. We need to repent in dust and ashes before the Almighty God. We need to turn aside from the quick high of the emotional jive that we want. We need to turn aside from all of the wickedness and begin to seek after Jesus with all of our hearts. We need to choose to abide in him, to remain in him, to find our place of comfort in him, so that when he appears, we can be confident and unashamed. In verse 29, John says, "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him." And that makes me ask you that question. Do you know that you're righteous today? No, I don't mean have you been declared righteous. I don't mean have you believed some lie about positional righteousness. That's all simply a shell game. The scriptures don't talk in the new covenant about positional righteousness. Rather, it speaks about real righteousness, made righteous. And so I have to ask you the question, are you righteous today? Have you been made righteous by the blood of Jesus? If you have been made righteous, like he is righteous, then you have been born of him. That's what it means when you ask the question, have you been born again? Have you been born of the water and of the Spirit? Do you live a new life? Do you understand who Jesus is? Or are you living a life that is casual, laid back? You have a mild interest in religion, and so you're listening to this broadcast. You have a mild interest in religion, and in fact, maybe you have more than a mild interest. It could even be your hobby. Like some men have a hobby of bass fishing, and other men have a hobby of skeet shooting, or another man is a scuba diver. You're a religious diver. But have you been made righteous? That's the question. Has the blood of Jesus Christ accomplished its work in your life so that when he appears, you will be abiding in him and you will not be found compromised with the world. You'll not be found walking in darkness. You'll not be found walking in the foolishness of this age, but you'll be found instead sober-minded, watchful, righteous, and holy. You'll be found untainted by the world because you've sold out to Jesus Christ. And now your heart is pursuing Him with all of your heart. You're pursuing Jesus. You're hungry for Him. How is it with you today? Where do you stand with Jesus? The Apostle John could not get away in his heart from this question of abiding or remaining in Jesus. He uses the term so very often through his first epistle. The reason he could not move away from this concept of actively abiding in Jesus was because of something Jesus said. Let me read it for you. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus is with his disciples. They are making their way from the upper room. This is just hours away from his crucifixion. And as he walks with his disciples, he now wants to tell them what is the very most important thing that he wants them to remember. And so we now find the last words of Jesus before his crucifixion. He begins to say to them, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." I read this passage of Scripture, and several things immediately leap out to me. He's saying, "I'm the true vine." And he's saying that my Father is going to come and he's going to deal with the branches of this vine. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we are the branches. And he's going to say to us that we must remain in him. In other words, a branch that is broken off no longer receives the flowing sap from the vine, and that branch withers and dies. That branch withers and dies. But notice, before he gets into that, in verse 2 he says, "He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes." A branch that is filled with disease, with blight, cannot remain in the vine and grow out of its blighted condition. A man who is tending a vineyard would allow no blight to remain to infect the others. Instead, he would simply prune it off. He would cut that branch off, and that branch would be carefully put aside in order to be burned to destroy that blight or that disease. Today, if you are a blighted Christian, you will be at some point cut off by the Father, and the day will come when you will be burned. If you are a half-converted Christian, you will be cut off, and you will be cast into the fire and burned. This is what Jesus is saying to us. If you are a Christian today, by name only, you attend church perhaps, you perhaps pay your tithe, you might even be the pastor, but your life privately is blighted. You're walking in known rebellion against God. You recognize that you are not clean. In fact, you have not been able to turn away from this broadcast because you have recognized it is the voice of the Holy Spirit warning you today of what is to come if there is not a great transformation in your heart. You see, a blighted Christian is a half-converted Christian. and that blighted Christian cannot be brought into Jesus Christ and receive the nourishing sap, because you can't grow out of a blight. How many times I've heard people say to me, I was converted, and now I'm being sanctified. And by that they mean that now the rest of their life, they're going to deal with their sin. And that finally when they die, the sin will be removed from their heart. Something happens when they die. Somehow death is their savior. Death is what is going to clean them up. If that's what you've believed, you've been deceived. You will never be able to grow out of your sin. A person does not grow out of disease. It does not grow out of blight. It's terminal. You must have new life brought into you from outside of you. Notice, I'll continue reading and it will become plain. In verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. It is the word of God that comes in and does a work of redemption in your soul. Jesus Christ said, I am the word. Jesus is the word. It is this word that has entered into you, and by the blood of that word, you are made pure, you are washed and made clean, and you stop sinning. Now, that doesn't mean you're all grown up. No, you may still be very immature. It doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes, because we are human beings and we do make mistakes. We do have infirmity of mind and body and soul. That's not the same as sin. John describes sin in the 3rd chapter of 1 John as rebellion, as lawlessness. He defines it as my heart pushing God away so that I can have my lust fulfilled with the devil. I am lifting up the name of Jesus before you. And as I lift up Jesus to you, you have to make a decision. Are you going to continue in a blighted condition, or are you going to allow his pure word to enter your heart and transform you and break the bondages of sin and set you free? You must choose today whom you will serve.
I'm Pastor Jan Greenlee. We pray that you've been awakened today by the Holy Spirit to a hunger for Jesus and his holiness. If you need someone to pray with you, call 703-490-8723. Write to us at the National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia 22195. That address again, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia 22195. To receive a copy of today's message, visit our webpage, nationalprayerchapel.com. If you want to get right with Jesus and experience his joy in your heart, come worship with us on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Grace Lutheran Church, located on the corner of Prince William Parkway and U.S. 1 in Woodbridge, Virginia. At the National Prayer Chapel, you will find Jesus, the bread of life.